The case of 12 Kuwaitis is raising new questions about how the U.S. is handling detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Family members of the men say the director of the CIA has acknowledged that most of the Kuwaiti detainees are innocent. U.S. officials won't comment, but this prompts the question, how can a detainee at Guantanamo prove his innocence? NPR's Barbara Bradley Hegarty reports.
It was August 2001, Fawzi al-Oda's summer vacation. According to his father, the 24-year-old teacher traveled for the third summer in a row to a small Pakistani village near the border of Afghanistan. Khalid al-Oda says his son was teaching and digging wells as a volunteer. Then came the 9/11 attacks. Refugees began pouring over the border. Fawzi called his parents and told them he was going to stay and help.
And we said, okay, please try to come back as early as you could. And he continued calling us until the bombing started there in Afghanistan. And we lost contact with him. We don't know what's happening there.
The next thing al-Oda heard, his son was captured by the Northern Alliance, handed over to U.S. forces, and taken to Guantanamo Bay. Al-Oda says he and the families of 11 other Kuwaitis taken to Guantanamo met repeatedly with their government officials, trying to secure their release. No luck. Then, on August 20th of this year, Kuwait's interior minister traveled to Washington to meet with CIA Director George Tenet. The interior minister later told the families about the meeting, and according to al-Oda, the Kuwaiti official asked Tenet about the 12 Kuwaitis at Guantanamo.
And he said, what do you have against them? Do you have anything against them? Mr. Tenet simply said, we don't have anything against them. Nine of them is cleared. Three of them, we have some questions about them.
According to al-Oda, the interior minister also quoted Tenet as saying that he doesn't have authority to release the detainees, but that he would speak to President Bush on their behalf. An administration official denies that Tenet made any such promise. Asked whether Tenet said most of the Kuwaitis may be innocent civilians, the official would not comment. The mere prospect that some innocent men may be held at Guantanamo presents a thorny question. How can they prove their innocence? According to legal experts, there are three ways: the U.S. courts, international law, and diplomacy. The first route, the American courts, is a dead end. Earlier this year, the Kuwaiti families brought suit in federal court to have their situation reviewed. In July, the federal judge dismissed the case. She ruled that U.S. courts have no say over what goes on at Guantanamo because the land is owned by Cuba. Then there's international law, specifically the Geneva Convention that governs the treatment of prisoners of war. According to Yale law professor Harold Coe, the convention has a mechanism to deal with these kinds of cases.
The appropriate move under the Geneva Convention would have been to convene a tribunal and start examining the facts on each individual, where they could make claims exactly like the ones that the Kuwaitis are making now. Namely, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, I have no hostile intent against the United States, and therefore you have no right to hold me.
But early on, the U.S. said that the Geneva Convention didn't apply because al-Qaeda is not a signatory to the convention, and the Taliban fighters were unlawful combatants, and so the convention didn't apply to them either. That means the U.S. has no formal mechanism to determine people's status. Lee Casey, who served in the Office of Legal Counsel in the first Bush Justice Department, says the U.S. is having to work out the mechanisms as it goes along. But, he says, such a tribunal would create chaos.
If you set up an adjudicative process, certainly they will all take advantage of it. And that, I think, is part of the concern, that the military, whose job, after all, is to fight wars, doesn't want to end up having to adjudicate several hundred claims that, in fact, they know are baseless to start with.
Moreover, Casey says, when you work near a war zone, you run the risk of being captured and detained. Ruth Wedgwood at Yale Law School says that's particularly true in this case. After all, this isn't a traditional war where the combatants come from one country, and so it takes time to figure out who's who.
In battle, or in this kind of intelligence war, it's very hard to obtain information, and the cost of being wrong when you let 1,000 al-Qaeda go free is very, very severe for other innocent civilians who are their potential victims.
which leaves the diplomatic route. Kuwait's ambassador to the U.S., Salem al-Sabah, says he's had several discussions with U.S. officials asking that the detainees receive some sort of trial to determine whether they should be released. But asked if this could spark a diplomatic snafu, he replied,
"No way is it going to jeopardize the relationship between Kuwait and the United States. And let me emphasize that we in Kuwait are not upset. We are worried about the fate of our people, of course, of our citizens in Guantanamo, but we are not upset with the way the United States is handling it. We think that the United States is careful in taking the right steps, and this process is taking time, and we totally understand that."
It's a little harder for Khalid al-Oda to understand, but he says he will continue to push for his son to get his day in court. Any court will do. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News, Washington.